In the name of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who moves through us. Amen. Please be seated. I'm wondering if you have time to walk to Emmaus. In today's gospel, we just read how on the same day that Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and all the other women had found the tomb empty and were later surrounded by angels, that two of Jesus' disciples got word of the happening. And while they were walking to the village of Emmaus, they were in deep conversation and questioning about what just happened. When Jesus came and stood among them, although they did not recognize who he was, the disciples had time to walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. I'm wondering if you have time to take the walk. We're all busy, you know. This week, I was talking to several friends and colleagues about busyness. And it's not just religious colleagues, but it's teachers and coaches and directors of nonprofits and people who rely on folk to run their organizations and do better in the world. And we talked about this narrative that we tell ourselves. The narrative that we tell ourselves is that we're just too busy. The narrative you tell yourself is that you're too busy. You tell it to me too, and it's not just in churches, it's just sort of the way that we Americans are. I even hear it sometimes for you coming back to me, like, I'm going into surgery tomorrow and I'd like your prayers, but I know that you're too busy. Or I'd like to meet for coffee, but you're probably too busy. As if, like, part of my job as a Christian, not only your priest, is to be there for you. This is what we do for one another. We meet one another. We make time for one another. We pray for one another. We meet over coffee. But this week just had me thinking about how busyness is a proud badge that we wear in our society. Reminds me of like a scout sash in which we need little circles of things that we're doing. Like whoever has the most is the winner. You know, and I was reflecting to myself driving down the road of like, how at my age we sort of have this view of motherhood. Like if you have 43 children in different school activities and manage to keep a full-time job and are still able to bake the homemade cupcakes for the thing and decorate for the theme party and drive a perfectly clean car with perfectly manicured nails and still have time to go to the gym, then like you're winning. You're really winning. Like, there's just something about our society that strives on being busy. We tell ourselves we have to be busy. And this week, I was thinking about all of this when I was kind of praying over our service rota, the rota in which we have the acolytes and crucifers and all the servers and the coffee hosts. And I kept asking myself, like, are people on this rotation because they really want to be or because it's just another busy thing to do? Here was my conclusion this week. I don't care if you're on the worship rota or not, especially if it's something to be busy about. Now, don't get me wrong. We need these things to do church and to worship God, and serving God in lecturing or in acolyting or in crucifering helps us bring about the presence of God and recognize the presence of God in this space. And we need light bulbs changed. And it's nice to have coffee. We need all those things. Don't get me wrong. But as your pastor, my conclusion this week was, I really don't care if you're busy or not, if you're on the rota or not. But here's what I do care about a lot, is that you have time to walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. You have time to be attentive to the stories of the risen Lord in your midst and in your daily lives and in your jobs and in your family and driving down the road and all the things that you do. That you have time to listen, invite others into your heart, to share your hopes and dreams, to converse with one another, to talk openly about the ways that you're confused, about your questions, about your faith. That you have time to listen to the stranger in your midst, to hear their stories, their interpretations, their experiences with the divine. You're able to spend time with one another, to invite one another to a common table. Each week when I look at Scripture, I try to picture what Scripture would look like. What would happen if the stories of the Scripture happened today in our modern day context? And of all the stories that I've read in the 3-year lectionary cycle, this was the first that was really hard for me to imagine. And let me tell you why today's story is hard for me to imagine. We're too busy. We are too busy. I spent this week thinking about, like, what if the risen Lord appeared to us on a road today? What would it look like? Would we as disciples be on our iPhones Googling empty tombs? Would we be checking the Associated Press or Twitter to see if the news was up yet? Would we be hurrying home to see if it had made the local news? Would we perhaps be distracted by our GPS directions? I don't know. Maybe you and I would be arguing over whose phone was going to get us faster there first. Maybe we would be Instagramming or Snapchatting or Facebooking and not really want a stranger in our picture. Or maybe Jesus would be there and we would ask him to get in our picture, but we wouldn't really pay attention because we'd be too busy putting a filter on it to really talk to him. Maybe we would be too busy caught up in our own plans, in our inner circle of discussion, to listen. Would we be worried about our to-do list, what we were going to do when we got to Emmaus, how we needed to go and pick up more bread and wine and cheese if we were going to invite this guy over for dinner? How on earth would we have time to clean up and set another table? Would the road to Emmaus happen today? Would it happen? What would have happened if the disciples had been too busy to stop and chat with Jesus that day? They wouldn't have been able to share their story about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet and who had done mighty deeds, and how he was crucified, and how on the third day some women came to the tomb and found that he was not there, about how they had seen angels. They wouldn't have talked to who they thought to be a stranger. They wouldn't have heard his stories. They wouldn't have heard his interpretations of Scripture. They wouldn't have had time to invite him to dinner, to set the extra place, to pick up the extra bread. And they never would have experienced the risen Lord. This stranger, this Jesus who took bread and broke it and blessed it. I think sometimes meeting the risen Lord is as easy as taking the time to meet the risen Lord, to listen to the stories of those around us, to be in community with them, to invite them to church, to table, to a meal. Sometimes I think meeting the risen Lord is as simple as meeting the people who are on the road with us and paying attention. So this week, amongst thinking about how I'm too busy, we're all too busy, I took a little extra time. Took a little extra time when I was leading our preschoolers in their chapel that we have every week. And, you know, normally I sort of tell stories and tell a story. And then when we get to the end, we have some discussion. But this week I did it a little bit different. So as I was telling the story, and we were telling the story of the prodigal son, like every time a kid had a comment, we just stopped. And we went with the comment. And it was amazing because I would tell a little bit of the story and then kid would have a commentary. So we'd stop and we'd do the commentary and then we'd tell the story again. Some of the kids knew the end of the story and some didn't. So we took some class votes in there just to see where the class was. But it was an amazing eye-opening experience to just stop and listen to these kids and their questions and their wanderings and their musings and the ways in which they thought God was moving through this story. It was an amazing experience, an eye-opening experience, an experience of the risen Lord just by slowing down. I had a little bit of an Emmaus experience by slowing down as I walk throughout downtown. Not as I drive or run, as I usually do, but walked. And in places that I had driven by thousands of times and run by dozens of times, I found water. streams of water rolling through downtown, brooks, signs of life that I never knew existed. So this week, take time to walk on the road to Emmaus, to experience the risen of the Lord, to share your stories, your faith, your dreams, your sadnesses with a stranger. Take time to listen to their stories, their faith, their interpretations. Take time to invite someone to table. Take time to walk the road to Emmaus. You may just meet the risen Lord.